Yes.
Thank you.
Roll call, Director Green,
Yes.
Director Wiegand,
Here.
Director Yeo,
Here.
Director Tran,
Here.
Director Nguyen. Director Nguyen, Director Mezqua,
Present.
Director Jung, Director Meeks,
Here.
Director Sheldon, Director Bilodeau.
Present from Santa Ana.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay. Do we have any items received to like to do agendas?
There are none.
Okay. Now is the time for visitor participation. Would anybody listen? Anybody? Okay. I don't see anything else online, correct? Okay. Let's move to the consent calendar. Do we have a motion for the consent calendar?
I'll make a motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Roll call, Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wiegand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Questions for us?
Director Yeo?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Mezqua?
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Well, okay.
Can people mute? Director Van, can you? Yeah, there you go. Okay. We've been asked to reverse the order of our Santa Ana base flow. Take that one first.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think it would be helpful if we do item 15 first, and it's just an informational item, but it would help in understanding item 14. So if that works for the committee, we'll do
Sure.
a future of Santa Ana River base flows right now.
Good. Okay, bottom two.
I got you.
Your system.
Okay, I think I'm good. Thanks, Chris. Thank you for having me. Today I get to provide a presentation on the future of Santa Ana base flows. It's a pleasure to be here and I appreciate the opportunity. So let's see how this is going to work. Okay. So we've all seen this pie chart before. This is a pie chart of the sources that OCWD uses to recharge the groundwater basin. And what I'm going to be talking about today and focusing on is the Santa Ana River, which combined storm flows and base flows represent more than 40% of the sources that OCWD uses to recharge the groundwater basin. Today's presentation is going to focus on this portion of the pie, which is roughly 75,000 acre feet per year on average, or 23% of OCWD's supplies. So first, we're going to start out by talking about what are base flows. And so, as the name would imply, in comparison to storm flows, it is flows that are not storm flows. So this is all non-storm water. And ultimately, this is determined through the Water Master process, with annually they'll go back and they'll go scalp the flows at Prado Dam to remove all the flows that are attributed to precipitation in the watershed. And so what I'm showing here on the right is a scalping process that they use where all the water flows that reach Prado Dam that are below this curve are considered to be base flows, and the flows above are storm flows. Just for context, last year we had a little bit above average base flows at 96,000. And just as a reminder, legal minimums per the Santa River Water Watermaster, 34,000 acre feet per year required to be delivered to OCWD at Prado Dam. Because of their consistency in nature, OCWD is able to capture 100% of base flows that come down the Santa Ana River and use them for groundwater recharge. So, if there are any changes to base flows in the future, it'll have a direct one-to-one relationship on our ability to recharge the basin. So, we're going to do a little math here today. I know everyone's really excited about that. So, Santa River base flows, again, are all non-stormwater and predominantly consist of effluent from upper wastewater facilities. Also accounts for dry weather urban runoff. So this is going to be more curb and gutter, more over irrigation type flows, not anything related to rain that's occurring in the upper watershed. We're going to be removing some of those flows for evapotranspiration or ET. And then groundwater is a very difficult one to really get our arms around here because there's parts of the Santa Ana River in the upper watershed where you have rising groundwater, where water is actually groundwater is actually contributing to flows in the Santa Ana River. You also have areas where you're having percolation occur. And these two can change interchangeably. I'll go into more detail in a moment as it relates to how full the upper watershed groundwater basins are. So first, we're going to start by looking backwards. So this is a history of base flows in the Santa Ana River. Base flows here are shown in blue. This was a question that was asked in producers' meetings, so I'll answer it here. The lines above this, these ones that are kind of more black boxes, those are going to be total flows in the Santa Ana River. And then there's a very small piece that's been checkered out here in blue, and that's going to be smaller contributions from the eastern side of the watershed, but that's not attributed to base flows. That's per Watermaster rules. So starting back in 1960s, we saw a precipitous increase in base flows. This is predominantly attributed to the urbanization of the upper watershed, where there's more wastewater being discharged from wastewater facilities into the Santa River and tributaries. And then during the early 2000s until about mid-2010s, we saw a pretty steady decrease in wastewater flows, largely attributed to some smaller scale wastewater recycling facilities, so like more like purple pipe type projects for irrigation going online. And then in recent years, it's been relatively stable or flat. And there's various reasons that are assumed to be a part of this. Urbanization is continuing to occur, but we're also seeing quite a bit of water use, indoor water use efficiency going on. So kind of a pull and push on those sort of factors. And it's ultimately leading right now, at least, to a relatively stable base flow. So the question is, where are we going from here? So to start, the biggest piece of the pie, and this will be occurring throughout most of the presentation, there will be an equation along the bottom or somewhere on the slide, which will highlight the pieces of the equation for base flows that we're going to be talking about in that slide. So if you get lost in where I am in this equation, I color-coded it here just to be even more bold. But right now, what we're talking about is going to be the relationship between base flows and wastewater effluent from the upper watershed. And as you can see, wastewater effluent is always higher. There's more water being discharged from the wastewater facility's upper watershed than what OCWD is receiving at below dam. And collectively, the last three pieces of this equation, the dry weather urban runoff, ET, and the groundwater components, collectively are resulting in a net reduction of about 20 to 40,000 acre feet per year. And this relationship is not exactly perfect, but it's definitely a correlation where we're seeing that this is the wastewater flows are really driving the equation. So really a key part of that ultimate base flow, future of base flows question. So when we talk about base flows, it's really important for us to really be on the same page as far as what we're talking about. And so again, this is the watershed shown here in this dark blue color. But when we talk about base flows, it's a much smaller watershed. And specifically, what I'm going to be talking about is two pieces that we're going to be essentially removing from the base flow conversation so we can focus on what really moves the needle. So, this upper piece that I'm showing here in orange, the upper watershed, the upper watershed, if we want to call it that, We have stream gauges from the USGS stream gauges on the Santa River, and during non-storm events, there is negligible contribution of flows in the upper water, the upper watershed. So these portions of the upper watershed are not contributing to base flows directly. And a similar story here on the eastern side. And so there's again USGS gauging stations that indicate that we're not receiving any non-storm flows from these areas. So what we're going to do is we're going to be focusing really in on this area right here as being the portion of the watershed responsible for base flows and really moving the needle in that space. The first map I'm going to show is related to the wastewater effluent. So with the dots on the map here, which are both green and orange, are wastewater discharge facilities or outfall points. So each one of these facilities discharges water, surface water, to Santa River or its tributaries above Prado Dam and ultimately contribute to base flows. Each of those facilities, to change how that water is being used, they have to go through what's called a change of use petition with the state. And the dots on the map here that are shown in green have already undergone those processes and have built facilities, and were largely responsible for that decrease we saw through the early 2000s in base flows. Now, there are other projects that we are aware of, and we've been tracking closely, that we anticipate having wastewater change petitions submitted. Those are shown here in orange and make up really the bulk of the remaining wastewater facilities. And these are being pushed forward under the Upper Santa River HCP and other projects under that. So the next piece of this pie that we're going to be talking about is the dry weather urban runoff. And so specifically the dry weather urban runoff, when I say that, what we're talking about is obviously when it's not raining, so more of the over-irrigation, more curb and gutter type flows. So smaller quantities than the wastewater effluent, obviously. And there's very limited stream gauges information that help us really understand the magnitude of how much dry weather urban runoff is contributing to base flows. And so the map on the right I'm showing here is a little bit more zoomed in. Prado Basin is shown here in the kind of brownish color. And then each of the yellow dots are going to be USGS gauging stations. And so there's a lot of uncertainty about the quantity of dry weather urban runoff that's contributing to certain sections of the tributaries. So the area I'm showing here on Cucamonga Creek, Chino Creek, and the Santa Ana River has a large stretch of land north of 10 miles between Prado Dam and the nearest upstream USGS gauging station at MWD Crossing. And as you can see, there's quite a few blue lines that are coming in here that could be contributing dry weather urban runoff. And it's really not well understood. Now, as far as what the future looks like in this space, there many of you might be aware there is a regional MS4 permit that is been in progress for nearly a decade, and it's nearing a point now where it's our understanding of this should be coming to a completion and being put out as a regional permit versus a individual county permit. And one of the purposes of that permit is to help protect surface water quality. And in doing so, one of the mechanisms that the permit has is to basically prohibit urban dry weather runoff from reaching these surface water bodies. So we anticipate there being more and more projects coming online to curb this dry weather urban runoff and kind of continue to bring it down. And so I mentioned earlier that the Upper Santa River HCP, or Habitat Conservation Plan, that is a big vessel getting environmental permit coverage for many projects in the upper watershed, both water reuse projects that are going to be pulling water out of the wastewater treatment facilities, and also dry weather urban runoff projects. As a friendly reminder, OCWD is a participant in the Upper Santa River HCP, and so we are working closely with these folks to help understand and better predict how these projects will be coming online. And so this is a tool that we have actually built internally to help us understand this. And so each of these dots on the map represents a project that is in the Upper Santa River HCP that will be removing either some form of base flow, either wastewater effluent or dry weather urban runoff. And the colors correlate to how the upper center of HCP is designed. They are in 5-year increments, and so each of these is a different phase of the HCP, and that helps us with the understanding of when these projects will actually be implemented. Again, that's the plan. We'll be tracking these closely to see if the reality matches the plan. And just to say this out loud, the quantities that are shown here, the 43,000 and the 1,800, these are for illustrative purposes only. It's an interactive tool, so depending on where you zoom in on these maps, it will dictate how much flow in that region. Okay, next piece of this equation. So we're moving on to evapotranspiration, or ET. And before I explain what OCWD is currently working on to help better understand this, I want to make sure that we are all on the same page of what ET is, because it's not something commonly talked about. So what ET is it's made up of two components. It's predominantly going to be evaporation, so what's coming evaporating off the soils, off the concrete, asphalt, and going back into the atmosphere, and through plant transpiration. So plants, as they grow, they actually will breathe in and out water vapor, and that water vapor will return to the atmosphere. And so those two variables are largely dependent on temperature. So the hotter it is, the more evapotranspiration will be occurring. And variables like wind can also increase those quantities. So we see more ET in the summer, less ET in the winter. And then they're also on the plant side, the type of plant that is in this environment is really critical in how much ET or how much that plant is transpiring out into the environment. So plants like Arundo, which is one of the primary reasons why OCWD is so focused on Arundo removal, transpires a very, very high quantity of water versus its native riparian habitat. And so there's been new technologies that are allowing us to evaluate if we can get a better grasp on this ET number. And so we're exploring some work that's being done by a group called OpenET, which is being supported by JPL and others, to help look at if satellite imaging can be used to help us understand ET better. OpenET Farms is this tool that I used here on the right, and I'll explain it in one moment. It's being developed to help farmers understand their water usage on their crops to help really dial in the quantity of water that they need for irrigation to help make sure that there's no or limited water waste. So the tool OpenET Farms, this is just an example. It's interactive where I built this polygon here, shown in purple, of Prado Basin and portions of the Santa Ana River. And using satellite technology, and you can create this ensemble of estimated enviro estimated ET. And show it's a little hard to see here, it's a little bit small, but kind of what I said earlier, as far as you see a lot more transpiration and a lot more evaporation during the summer months, you see a lot higher ET in the summer and a lot lower during the winter. And we're looking at the opportunity to see if this technology can be applicable to our understanding of Prado Basin and ET. But a lot more work to go on that front, but this is just an exploratory idea that we're looking at to see if we can help better understand ET. Wrong direction. The last piece of this equation is the groundwater component. And so what I'm going to talk about here is the Santa Ana River is a very dynamic system. And in certain sections of the river, you'll have what's called a gaining stream and a losing stream. So in a gaining stream, the underlying groundwater basins, the water levels are high enough where they are interacting with the bottom of the river and actually contributing flows. So water is coming from the groundwater basin into the river and will ultimately reach Prado Dam as part of base flows. The inverse are losing streams. And so if groundwater levels are drawn down enough, portions of the river will percolate into upper watershed groundwater basins and not be available to OCWD or groundwater recharge. It's a very dynamic process, and it depends on the operation of the upper watershed groundwater basins. And it is also a concern for our riparian aquatic species in Prado Basin. So it's really important for us to dive into this information more and get a better understanding for how this is occurring. And so along the Santa Ana River, there's some areas that we know we have gaining reaches. So the Prado Basin is an area where we do see rising groundwater occurring. And there's also areas in the Riverside Narrows where we are aware of rising groundwater commonly occurring. There's also areas in the kind of in the middle where we do have groundwater losses. And these change based again on how the groundwater management is occurring and kind of the hydraulic conditions. And so this is an area that needs a lot more work, and there's efforts being put together through SAPA to better understand this. This is my last slide. So again, back to this equation. What is the future of base flows? And so right now, we're really trying to figure out if base flows in the future are going to be driven up by variables such as urbanization in the upper watershed and more flows into wastewater facilities, or if they're going to be pulled down by other variables like water recycling or dry weather, urban runoff diversion projects. And so generally speaking, it's an unknown still, but what we're tracking very closely is going to be those projects that I mentioned in the upper Santa River HCP, but generally there's going to be downward pressure on wastewater effluent through these recycling projects. There's going to be additional downward pressure on the dry weather urban runoff. We're going to continue to be exploring tools to better understand ET. And there's also studies ongoing to better understand the interaction of the Santa Ana River base flows with the groundwater basins. And so we'll be tracking these very closely, and we're continuing to develop new tools and explore new opportunities to better understand these timing and magnitude of these impacts. And with that, it concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Any comments? I can't see online.
I see online. Thank you for the great report.
Thank you.
Very colorful.
Okay, moving on to item 14, the Santa Ana River Eco Flow Study.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Cheryl Parsons will present this. This is a new program that we would like to initiate. All yours, sir.
Right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for having me. And thank you, Kevin, for the great presentation. He did a really great job explaining the potential changes we could see to the base flows in the Santa Ana River. And my presentation is going to look at how those changes could potentially affect OCWD and what our proposed approach is to address those changes. Specifically, we're looking at how those changing base flows could affect the riparian habitat behind Prado Dam. So OCWD has a regulatory requirement with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to ensure that our water storage operations behind Prado Dam do not negatively impact the riparian forest that's located behind the dam. And if it is shown that the riparian forest has decreased due to inundation from our operations, we would be required to replace that habitat with mitigation plantings. And at an average cost of about $72,000 an acre, even a few acres of loss could be very costly. So the key question is, if we do observe habitat decline behind Prado Dam, how do we know what caused it? The riparian forest is a highly dynamic ecosystem, and it's influenced by many factors. So, in addition to inundation, it could be influenced by drought conditions or increased sedimentation, the decreasing groundwater levels, or even decreasing base flows. So, how do we parse out which of these factors is causing habitat decline if that's observed? Well, we've already got something for the first four here, and that's the Prado Digital Twin, which, as a reminder, is a project we're working on with CW3E, which looks at the effects of inundation, drought, sedimentation, and decreasing groundwater on the riparian forest. To assess the role, however, of decreasing base flows, we'll need a different set of tools, and that's where an EcoFlow study would come in. So, what are ecoflows? They're also sometimes called environmental flows. Ecoflows is a little catchier, in my opinion, but they are the flows needed to sustain healthy rivers and their related habitats, so, like a riparian forest. They take into consideration both the quantity of flow, so how much water is needed in that river, and also the timing of flow, so the seasonality of it. Historically, in Southern California, rivers don't flow year-round at the same rate. You'll get a peak during the winter season and then a wet weather-based flow, and then you'll have a kind of a decline into the spring and summer and then a dry weather-based flow. So ecoflows take into consideration those seasonal patterns and determine how much flow is needed at different times of the year to support the ecosystems. Now, an ecoflow study is not necessarily about restoring rivers to their pre-development, pre-human conditions, but about developing this balanced set of priorities that takes into consideration the ecological needs and water management objectives and priorities. In our case, since we are being regulated on the health of a river-related ecosystem, that riparian forest, that's going to be one of our priorities in this ecoflow study. So we're proposing an ecoflow study that would identify the flows needed in the Santa Ana River and its tributaries to sustain the riparian habitats in Prado Basin and support Santa Ana sucker populations, both of which are areas of high concern, high priority for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding OCWD's operations in the Prado area. This study will help us pinpoint the causes of any habitat impacts. So if the base flows drop below the flows that we identify in this study, then we can see those habitat impacts may be linked to those declining base flows and not our OCWD operations, which could help us support that continued water storage behind the dam with while avoiding those costly mitigation plantings. And there is actually a widely accepted regulator-approved framework for determining ecoflows and conducting ecoflow studies. And that is known as the California Environmental Flows Framework, or CEF. So this was developed by SQIRP, the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project, and it looks at taking scientifically supported flow criteria and balancing that with human and ecological needs. So it will determine what the natural flows of a river should look like and then take into consideration our water management objectives to create these flow recommendations. SQIRP is the only agency that is performing that analysis in California since they're the ones who developed it, and it's the only framework that has been pre-approved by these regulators, such as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and enacted across the state in different agencies. I don't want to dive too deep into the weeds on what the actual processes of the CEF analysis is, but at a high-level view, there's 12 steps that they break down into three phases. So the first phase is what they call the natural flows foundation, so determining what the natural flows look like in the absence of human activity. So both that dry and wet seasonality look to it. Then they'll take into consideration non-flow aspects, so things like water quality, the presence of invasive species in the ecosystem, if there's been habitat alteration, like increased sediment or impervious surfaces throughout the watershed. And then by phase three, that's when they add in the human uses and management objectives. So, what do the downstream users need? What are the upstream users using? And when you combine all three, you get these recommended flows these, that are balanced between these ecological needs and the human needs. And then you can start weighing out these different phases based on your priorities. So in our case, since we're being regulated on the health of the riparian forest, we'd want to weigh these first two phases a little heavier because that's where our regulation lies. So we've worked with SQIRP to develop a scope of work and cost estimate and a projected timeline for an ecoflow study that would look at the flows needed to support the riparian habitat in Prado Basin. So the flows in the Santa Ana River and its associated tributaries. The first part of this would be identifying the inputs and the data requirements for the study. So making sure we have all the data necessary to do the analysis. Then the second step is the actual CEF analysis. So that leads to our third step, the flow recommendation report, where we would get those recommended flows. The study is estimated to take 15 months with a cost of approximately $120,000. And we have budgeted this $120,000 in this fiscal year. But as you can see, since it's going to take 15 months, we'll need to continue that funding into next fiscal year as well. So to summarize, we want to enter into an agreement with SWRP to conduct an EcoFlow study of the Santa Ana River and at an amount to not to exceed $120,000. And this agreement would be a sole source agreement as SWRP is the only organization in California that does perform this analysis, and it's the only framework currently approved by our regulatory agencies. And we would use the results of this study to identify threshold base flows for the Santa Ana River for the health of the Prado riparian forest, which would help us pinpoint the causes of any potential habitat decline. And given a mitigation cost, again, of $72,000 an acre, this study would provide that critical data-based evidence to help OCWD avoid any of those unnecessary regulatory expenses. So with that, I will take any questions.
Any questions, any comments?
Nothing online.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Good report. Okay. Do we have a motion of the recommended action?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second.
Roll call, Director Green.
Yes. Who?
Just a second. I'll do a second.
I'm sorry for the interruption, Chair Green. I was going to ask for a clarification that this effort, is it related to the presentation that Craig Miller and I think previously, I forgot the lady from Upper Watershed General Manager, is it these all related issues or?
You're talking about Heather Dyer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Director Yoad, a little bit maybe, but not directly.
Sort of. Okay.
Yeah, it's directly related to what we're required to do to store water behind a dam. Yeah. So.
Okay, but this effort is trying to determine the issue related to what Kevin O'Toole presented, right? And then there's also like benefits related to environmental mitigation that we're required to do.
That, go ahead, Lisa.
I'm sorry.
These are great questions. Thank you so much, Director. It's a combination of factors. So this is forward planning. As you know, Heather Dyer presented and Kevin also presented that there will be multiple projects, water recycling projects happening in our watershed in the future. So we do know that base flows will be declining over time. What we want to do is we want to ascertain if those flows are going to have any negative effects on our riparian forest, which we're required to monitor. And if there is any declines, we need to be able to show that it's not due to our operations. So we're looking at collecting all the data that we can for all the factors that may exist to prove one way or another causality of any kind of decline. And our current digital twin effort doesn't take into account ecoflows or how much water would it take to support that large riparian forest. It's growing every year because we store water. And as we store water to higher elevations with our minor deviations, it's growing the riparian forest. So we need to understand how much water in terms of base flows, that forest is going to need to maintain itself over time.
Okay, great. Thank you for the clarification. Appreciate it. And Chair Green, I'm sorry for the interruption. I was struggling to unmute.
Please. Okay, we have a motion by Director Wigand, a second by Director Amezcua. Have a roll call.
Roll call, Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Amezcua.
Yes.
The motion carries 5-0.
Hey. Shall we put everything on the board agenda consent?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Do we have any director's announcements? Anybody? Okay. General manager?
Just wanted to mention We got some good news with the weather forecast. It has changed a lot in the last 24 hours, but we are expecting to get 4 inches of rain in Anaheim starting on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So for that 4 day period, 4 inches of rainfall. Now we'll see how much rainfall the upper watershed gets, but it just looks like a good start to the winter season. The Corps of Engineers, they've told us with this rainfall, there's a 50% chance that we'll have about 13,000 acre feet of water behind Prado Dam on Tuesday. And there's actually a 25% chance we'll have about 19,000 acre feet of water behind Prado Dam on Tuesday. So, yeah, so it's just nice, good start to the rainy season, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Okay, we are adjourned. Thanks, everyone.